Tears of joy are a whole lot different than tears of grief. One promotes your life, the other shortens it. And when I came in tonight, the one that lengthens your life was first I wanted to laugh so hard that I would have fell over in the doorway. So I thought I'd better wear this shirt so they could find me. And the joy of God hit me so hard. The joy, but the presence, I mean, the victory. It hit me so hard I could hardly walk. They found me wandering around over on that side. And why? Because God hasn't changed. We got Him because He can't. He's immutable. And His immutability, He can't change, nor can He be changed. Woo! That means He's the same today. And how about yesterday? And tomorrow. Woo! So anything He says stays. And He's gave us His word. He's gave us His word. And can't lie. So what the devil attacks? That's what he does. That's what he does. That's his nature. He attacks, he destroys, kills, steals, and destroys. Well, he's come to kill, to steal, to destroy. That's all he does. And he's been doing that for about 6,000 years. Both before the flood and after. He's been watching people, testing what works real good. First he has to get you to agreeing with what he's saying. And he has to get you away from the truth. Get you somewhere where he can re-indoctrinate you. When I got to rejoicing and blessing God because he can't change and his word never changes, so what's the problem? Well, I haven't seen this few people in a while. What is that changing? Does that make the end different? New. We're going to have the end that we began the journey to have the end to have. We're not going to begin a journey and have his end. We're going to have God's end, and there's nothing that they can do about it. Hallelujah. Why? Because greater is he who came here to be in me than that idiot that's running around causing trouble. You called him an idiot just because I have no respect for him. Anybody, that would be wrestled down and chained up and thrown into a bottomless pit, which means, he could fell. He could have fell for 1,000 years. Well, that'd be a journey, wouldn't it? And then, after 1,000-year fall, he gets out and he goes, where were we at when I got thrown in there? Oh, yeah, we were busy destroying everybody. I'll go rally the nations and bring them up against the Lamb again. Somebody like that, it's not going to stop. That's why he said, I give you power over 1/3 of the power of the devil. Well, you're getting spoken out now, aren't you? I give you power over how much? So, what's changed? What's changed? Nothing. That's why I got so tickled when I came in here. He's the one that's lost, not us. He's the one that loses, not us. This is part of the victory. We made him mad. So what? Glory. See, if God doesn't have the problem, it must be us. He's already won. So when we go over on his side, we've already won. Why in the world would we run around and utter one word like we didn't? I love victories before I can see them. It's called faith.
Well, when it gets so bad you can't stand it, it's called strong faith.
What if you can't see your way out in any direction? It's called the God-given faith. Hallelujah. Well, can you lose? No. Not when I go with him. When I go out to eat, I take him with me. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I got so full of joy. Come in, I couldn't hardly talk. And I started weeping a little bit, and I got so happy, and then I got happier. And then I didn't count people. I started counting empty chairs and got happier and happier. Oh, devil, are we causing you that much trouble? Don't answer, thank you. I get so tickled. He'll stay. He'll stay. Kiwambade. A drink. Karabu for a lalati chick. Nana to be key. Kita to brabo. He's a lot of money to take a while of it. He's so hokim. For truly. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. And this is why you can finish the course I've set you on with victory. You'll see, you'll be pleased that you stayed with me and worked my mysteries and walked in the understanding of my wisdom in these days to come. You'll rejoice. So be strong and rejoice every inch of the way. And know that no matter how hard the enemy hits, I've already won for you, saith the Lord. Okay, that's just what I was saying. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. What did he say in James? He said, count it all joy. When things are going good. He said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, testings, trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, and you'll be entire and lacketh nothing. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Be as it is, he has two minds. Hesitant, dubious, irresolved over everything he thinks, feels, or decides, that guy is not going to get nothing. So what did he say to do when the temptation attacked you and the affliction came and says, hey, you know, I'd like to live here a while? You think I'm single-minded. You're going to be really tortured until you leave. You got that? You got that? You're really going to be tortured. Then a little later on in the same chapter, he says, let no man say when he's tempted, he's tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts or tries he any man. And he included the women.
So what? You mean, well, God is just testing me. He's just testing me to see if, you know, I can go do that. That he's wanting me to go do. He's just tempting me to see if I'll let no man say when he's tempted. You can throw tested and tried in there. Not tempted or tested or tried by God. For God can't be tempted, tested, or tried with evil. Neither tempts or tests or tries he any man. Well, what does tempting? He's tempted when he's drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. Whew. Anyway, we don't want to go any further there, really. I guess so, that, yeah. Tolo prime kese, shonda kato shabi. See, James, he's catching on there too. You know what Paul taught. And Paul's the one that laced an awful lot of the love of God in his epistles. And I'd say that John would have to come in just right up there, because he wrote just purely on that for a couple of letters. But Paul, He went on there and dedicated a few chapters to it and kept alluding to it. That you're sharing this planet with spiritually dead people. Whether we like it or not, he uses them against you. Satan cometh not but to kill, to steal, and destroy. And the first thing he wants to get out of you is the word, because he knows that with that you can defeat him, because he'll have to do what God says. So when he said, let no man say when he's tempted, well, God's not in that. That he's tempted of God. He's not in it. But we're sharing a planet with spiritually dead people, and God's got one thing on his mind. You know, we can't get away from this. Gary picked it up with the prodigal son. And the rejoicing was over that he came home, and the rejoicing in heaven was over, not the 99 sheep. But the one they found, the one they salvaged, they saved him. It wasn't the 10 pieces of silver or whatever they rejoiced over. It was when they found the one that was lost. Now, I was preaching at Bronx in Florida. People would gather up on the front on their own if they wanted to, and when worship, so they'd just get carried away and come on up front, stand there and hold those arms up and just worship God. And we sitting in the back and came in when we wanted to, praying and getting ready. And sometimes you just couldn't stop it. So Bronk would say, I'm kind of sorry, but there was no place I could fit an offering in it. And I said, hey, don't worry about it. Then it came out of my mouth. I said, giving is a form of worship. I went, what?
And I said it. And enough understanding shot down through me how that can be possible. But when I started trying to explain it in detail, I thought, well, you've got a little bit to learn about this. That's right. I do. But this one thing I do know. But I can take it this far. Let's just say I shoveled chicken manure for a month. Then I kept 1 week and put the other 144 hours. So I just kept the money for 1 week and went down and bought some stuff and got ready for the next month. And I took the 144 hours and gave it to a guy to preach a meeting somewhere. I don't care. Africa, India. So he takes the 48 hours. 48 hours of my life. And I give it to him and he goes. 300 people get saved. And he goes, yay, hallelujah. And everybody's going, yay, good God, glory to God. You're chosen of God. You're this, you're that. Blah, blah, blah. Listen to me. You put in the 144 hours that he was operating in so those people could be born again and run for the altar. Guess who's worshiping God with their life now? Does anybody know it? No. Nobody knows it. But who but God? You're just as much a part of the body and just as called as he is. And those 300 people are just as much a part of your reward as his, because you put 144 hours of sweat into it. You had 300 people born again, even though you wasn't the preacher. I'm catching on. Don't you just love that kind of teaching? Yes, sir. Let me talk about faith in any area for a minute. For somebody lost you're believing for, you have to use the same thing on them. Faith. You're believing for finances, you have to use the same thing on it. Faith. In some cases, leadership of the Spirit, you're involved. Some cases, you're not. But you still have to have the faith in. And when you have the ability to take something up and drop it off with God, I mean, if you have 144 hours that you gave that guy, he won those 300 people. Now, he might have been believing for that. And you're the one that God used to give it to him because you would. But one of the strongest single-minded things I learned about faith and walking with God on a day-by-day basis was that finality that he talks about in the single-mindedness. You know, even when he invited them to come to the dinner, then they didn't. And then there was plenty of room, so he says, well, then go get the lame, the halt, the blind. So we know in his supper that he provided for us, we know that there's healing for the maimed, the lame, the blind, the halt. He said, go bring them to the dinner. Go get them. Bring them. Bring them to my supper. Bring them. So we know that it's the healings provided for them in that. See, we know. And the next verse says, you know, when they didn't want to come, actually is talking to the Jews. They didn't want to come. And after he says that, then go on it on the streets and the highways and the byways and bring the lame and the sick and the blind. Well, we're still supposed to be bringing them. Because in that supper, he included healing. But even further in the next step, he says, any man comes and to follow me. He says, if any man hates not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, and he went on as far as says his own life also, you can't be my disciple. And on the surface, when I asked him why, he said, and yourself. Hate yourself. I says, why? He says, because you'll follow you. You'll follow them. I said, you actually said you want me to hate my mother and father and wife and children. Oh, I knew I had to go in on that word and get it out. It's love less. Love less than me. And then he asked a question, which of you building a tower sets not down, counts the cost down to the last nail to make sure that you got all the material you need to finish it, because the bywalkers will laugh you into the ground. So how many of you count the cost before you go on an adventure? What? Do you start out for here with $5 for gas from Texas? Better be on a bicycle. No, we don't do that. We're very efficient. We count the cost down to the last nail. The cost, that's the kind of cost you're counting when you're counting whether you're going to love him more than your father and your mother and your wife and your children. See, and if you don't count the cost, you may come short and not be able to finish the job. So choosing him is counting the cost, are you or not? Boy, when I found out, a man going to war against twice as many people. Does he need wisdom? God, yes, he needs wisdom. Whether to surrender or to fight. Well, if you don't count the cost, the wisdom might not be available. You take the wrong path. Well, you might know that it was about love. You might have known. Any man comes to me and does not love less than me, your mother and father, children, even your own life. When you love him more is the only time you can really love them more. And then you love him more, then you're able to love them more. I mean, you'll eventually love them so much that you'll even see to the eternal things in their life, no matter what it costs you. I can't love him more without loving you more. See, you can't. So in the light of these things, I know he loves me. This is a big part of my life right now, what I'm finding out. I know that he loves me, and I'm reaching out to understand what I'm getting a hold of here. I already knew that about the scripture there, but my head knew it better than my heart. So, when I started finding out about this, this love that we're talking about. It enabled me to bring something up to God in prayer. Whether it's a person or a thing, a result, leave it. And I mean, really leave it with Him. I mean, with the love you can only share with people you trust with all your heart. Leave it. When you do that, whatever it takes, 100 people's lives may be shifted because their destination is part of ministering to what you laid on the altar. All of a sudden, all these people take a little shift because their turn is going to go by, and this one's going to be asked to give that, and this one to do this and do that until your prayer is answered. He said, nothing should be impossible to you. That the more I got into His love, the more I found out that it helps when this faith is directed towards winning the lost. And people that are all destroyed, rescuing. Coming to find out that faith has more to do with things like that than anything. Well, when I first caught on, I turned all my aunts and uncles over, and I told you about Leon and Florence, Georgie. One of my oldest ones lived, I believe it was Artesia, New Mexico. Over 20 years ago, I was just really learning faith and just coming over here. No, it was a couple of years after that. It was the phone call came here. Anyway, I was preaching a meeting for a woman in Tucson, Arizona, and the thing broke out and went for weeks and weeks. And I just kept going back and preaching and miracles and everything. Before that had happened, I got a phone call, and it was from a woman named Carol, and the office asked me, do you know Carol? I said, I'm trying to remember. Said she lived on the same road you lived on when you was in school, grammar, high school. You run around with her brothers. Oh, Phil and Henry, yeah, and her mother, Jewel. And they were a good Baptist family. Really good Baptist family. And I'd sneak Grandpa's cigars and his pipe tobacco and make a corncob pipe. And I'd get Phil and Henry, and their mother did not like it. And we snuck out behind the car, puffing on the cigar. And went up to 12, 13, just puffing away and smoking and... This little brat, Carol, the little old kid, ran back and caught us. And I just showed her, Mama, Mama. And boy, did they get it. When they were getting it, I was running. So now years later, I'm preaching a meeting in Tucson, and office is here. And they get a call from Carol. And said, I want to know if that same Dave Roberson is preaching the meeting, and I have the number here. I want to know if that's the same Dave Roberson that lived on White Road when I was growing up. My name's Carol. And my mother said, trust me, daughter, it's not him. It's not him. You're wasting your time. Is it him? And he says, they brought me the letter or whatever, and I read it. And I called her back and she says, "Well, are you?" And I says, "I'm him." So I ended up there in Tucson around that same time. I'm getting the facts straight, maybe not the places. And it's not too far. But anyway, they said, I said, "I'm going to be in the area." And so I look up and they come over from Artesia, the little brat and her mother Jewel. Carol. Only she's a woman. And they're standing there and they told me they had come in. I said, "Yay, hi, hi." And I ministered and then had the call to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And both of them come up and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they went back to, I believe it was Artesia, looked around, because I had given aunts and uncles over. My oldest living aunt that I heard was anyway. Then I said, "I think she was somewhere in that area," and they go on a search for her. Found her in a rest home. And they got her born again just before she died. Come on. What will he not do? You got other stories like that? You know I do. You know. So why wouldn't I believe a God who can't lie? He can't change. And then he gave me his nature. And then he didn't trust me to an angel. Oh no. Oh no. That's a create-e. He didn't trust me to an angel. No. To a member of the Godhead himself. The Holy Spirit has come and stepped in to be our teacher. It's more than teacher, it's mentor. Teacher stands up at the chalkboard and teaches all of you. But the mentor goes home with you. Teaches you all you want to know. "Well, I don't know what to pray." Well, he does. So he'll even do your praying for you. Does God love us or what? Come on. Does he? Does he love us or what? When I prophesy, he says, the church receives edification. He says, what does prophesying do? Edifies the church. Why? The mind of Christ is manifest for it. For the city, for their lives, for the church. But he, in the next statement, he says, he that prayeth in tongues edifies himself. But the reasons are the same. His mind, the mysteries of Christ, are manifested in your understanding to do with your life, your call, your faith, and your walk. So prophesying edifies the church, but praying in tongues edifies the individual. You. And I can tell you now, a lot had happened to me the last time I tried to talk to you. But I can tell you now, I wasn't supposed to make it this far. Too late now. I wasn't supposed to get past the last thing that he threw to destroy me. I was supposed to go off either into sensationalism or sorrow or half backsliding, dead, numb. Or I was supposed to be dead. But I wasn't supposed to get past that last part. And I'll say this part again. when the last thing he tried on me after the two fasts, during that season of there's really a revival of sensationalism going on. A lot of gold dusting, all that kind of thing. So I got through two that he tried to enlist me in that army with everything. I mean, day and night. And by the end of the second one, it took 2 years, I defeated it. Found out the truth. It infuriated him so bad. Almost in the same tone or how loud he was. I mean, I could hear him singing. I didn't like it. It actually sounded like I was outside in my driveway. Just standing there looking at the house for a minute. And it came up from behind. Felt about that far. I could hear it like you. I'm going to kill you. I said, if you could do that, I'd already be dead. Then he said, I'm going to kill your family. I said, you're not doing that either. Well, I can testify. The things that we went through when Bill entered the ministry with Steve. Boy, there was some serious things that happened supernaturally that finally got him born again. And I'm talking really, really supernatural things. Like he would go down and you know, get on a fishing boat for the season in Washington and he would get in an apartment with a buddy, and then they would go get opium or, you know, what is the drug that makes you numb and stuff? Heroin, another one. Doctors use it. Morphine. So they got their first payoff from the boat and went and got a bunch of morphine and overdosed. And my son came out of it and called me and was scared as a little rabbit. And he didn't tell me all of it. But when I hung up, I had a vision. And I could tell you how the house was laid out. Or the apartment, the front room was long like that, and the door was down there, and it came down to this end. And then there was another room off to this side. And then, I don't know the layout from there, but I know there was two beds in this room. And so, in the vision, I saw the angel, and he had a Roman outfit on, standing guard like this, like a Roman soldier, right at the door. And two little devils came through the wall, and all he did was go like this. And they fell down whimpering and backed out. But I mean, I was seeing this. And so I got him. And he says, yes. He says, I was in the other corner room. He said, and I got up. And I turned around and I was laying on the bed. And I got scared, panicked, or whatever. And he said, and I turned around and I looked at the wall, not around the corner. And he saw the outline of that big angel appear through the wall. And he said, get back in there. And he got back in and came out of it. Then he rolled his friend over, who also overdosed. His eye had dried on the mattress. Pulled the eye out. He came home scared. After I saw that, saved. Scared and saved. Oh, he had his times after that. He's the one I got up one time, said, Steve, why don't you answer some of their questions? Somebody said, can you name the kings? Because he had like a photographic memory. He can go on and on. He's been on Egyptian digs. Things like that. He said, name the kings. And he starts naming about, he gets about five named. And I caught on finally. He said, Steve, they mean the kings of the Bible, not England. He was naming the kings of England. They want Bible answers. See, he went home, and I asked everybody, you know. Of course I prayed. Been a few hours. Ambulance came. We went. I asked everybody, please, the emergency room where they take people, that it's not an emergency, I think. They're already dead. So I stood there for a while, you know. Prayed. Prayed. And I caught a glimpse of something, and this is what I could make. He got out again. He got killed about four different times. One time, Alan raised him. One time, he jumped out of a train doing 60 miles an hour. They brought him back by shock at him then. He died about four times. You can see how the devil thinks that he's going to win or something. That's why I'm so tickled today. He got out just like the other time, only this time it appeared to be Jesus. I couldn't hear nothing, basically hardly except this time you have to come with me. What more do I want than to know where they're at? So he lost. He lost anyway. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I'm not supposed to have got this far. That's why I was laughing so hard when I come in. That's why I said joy and grief is two different things. This is joy. What kind of joy? It's very rooted in knowing that I have already won. And the maimed and the lame and the blind and all of those that's coming to the revival we're going to feed them was already brought into existence when Jesus said, go get them then. He did it then. He's doing it now. What's going to get us over there to miracles like that? The love he has for the lost. He keeps talking about the rejoicing in heaven. Well, we're going to pick on the devil so bad they're going to have a revival in heaven of rejoicing. We're not stopping. So, if I wasn't going to have a revival and, you know, got tired of hearing about going to have one, got all wore out, I'd probably run off somewhere where they could tell me I was okay like I was. Tell me I'm okay and I'll give you a good offering. Please. Please. Oh, yes. The one time Jesus died, the grace, it's for every sin you could commit in the future and the past. Technically, that's true. But he wasn't issuing a license to sin. You can go back and make it right. Or we can go to the almost finished passage of all inclusive. Oh, I'm saved anyway. Everybody's saved. There's only one Adam, and he died and caused it. I got one Jesus. He's resurrected. Now we're all saved. All inclusive. Now, there's only one more step. It's repeated itself in history. They haven't admitted the devil is saved yet. As soon as they put that in, get that into their message, then they will have sank to one of the lowest deceptions. That is, what did he say? A sin unto death. You take the building foundational blocks out of Jesus Christ crucified and your will to accept him. You're not automatically saved. He loves you. There's something about him that I think would be in anything that lives. I said last time, he came from forever. And that's where he's going. They stopped to pick us up. We had an episode with him. He picked up a family. But what seemed to be so important to him was as his sons and daughters was our fellowship. As family. It's important to him to know that when I lift my hands and worship him and tell him I love him, he's got to know that came from me. I decided that. That's my free will. I chose to give my life. I choose. He's my Father, and he'll have our fellowship forever. And that was your choice. Well, Christianity is not a religion. It is a family. Where'd you hear that? You on a wore out tape. I've been testifying 50 years, preaching 40. Got over 1 million miles just on American Airlines. I should know. If love really changes you that much, I should know. I've seen everything. And I can tell you that what I'm receiving now is different. Especially in the areas of more powerful than anything that I've ever received before. Fasting times and that, we've had spurts of time when there was more miracles and spurts when there was others and less and this and that. But for me, at the moment, I'm having my revival. I'm having my revival. Pretty soon, it'll be ours.
Where's my chair? Get out of it, lady. Well, I'm new here and I can have it.
Oh, goodness. Goodness. How many was healed of anything today? Tonight. Yeah. How many had a manifestation tonight? Yes? Yes? Yeah. Hallelujah. How many's been ever physically healed of anything here in the past? I talked myself into a miracle here once. It's just because there was blood in my urine and a lump in my side. What does that mean? Nothing.
Do you know what it was?
No, I didn't go find out.
Do you recommend that?
Well, if you feel like you need to,
sure.
Jesus will meet you where you're at, take you by the hand. You can walk out together. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, at least we covered something a little bit new, that giving is a form of worship. 144 hours. The next time it'll grow, you know, when I preach on it, 148 hours I gave, you know. So don't you think that your reward is any less? It's not. What a form of worship to give yourself, to turn it into power. The kind of power that you can give somebody else to use and then get people saved with it. For an entrepreneur that's made out of pure wisdom, and if, like God said, if it didn't become his God, ooh, I wisdom deal with prudence and find out knowledge for witty inventions. There'd be no end to it. You'd be a big faucet that was turned on. And look at your reward. Oh, my goodness. It'd be greater while you was making it. But when it was rolling in, it'd be a great reward, okay. But so was the woman that gave the two mites, because it was her living too. Hallelujah, Jesus. I wisdom lead on the paths of judgment. That's those who love me will inherit substance and I'll fill their treasures. Wisdom does all that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whew. Anyway, you got to be dead. You got all that power. You could buy the presidency. Shut up. Do your job. Well, I could buy the presidency and change the... You'll be fallen for the same thing. Hallelujah, Jesus.